a program devoted to the largest segment of society, to those who know that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, rotten to the core, counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. I am Yada. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 2 hours, is 877-300-7645. Do you recall a few weeks ago how the Abominator was having a tizzy fit over the fact that Netanyahu would be speaking to the U.S. Congress regarding the president's negotiations with Iran over their nuclear bomb program? And how he just said, you know, it's just completely inappropriate, it's undiplomatic, those morons in the Republican Party and Congress have no idea what they're doing. America should never allow a politician to come and speak before Congress when said politician is nearing a re-election campaign. Remember that? Yeah, it was, you know, holier than thou. I don't want to get involved in Israeli politics. It's not our business. Now, mind you, he has no concern when a Islamic dictator shows up at his doorstep. Those that don't engage in any election campaigns, oh, they can come anytime they want. But should a democratically elected, popularly elected candidate show up who is actually an ally of the United States and isn't engaged in trying to kill Americans and isn't at war with America? No. Can't show up. Well, can you say hypocrite? The President of the United States has reversed course and decided, well, maybe America, well, maybe he, anyway, should get involved in Israeli politics, and he decided that he would scold Netanyahu, who won the election by a considerable margin. So this reporter, recognizing that the duplicity, but trying to make the president look mature, begins their report by saying, I think this is from the BBC, after saying mum on Israeli issues in the run-up to the election, in other words, after shunning Netanyahu and not allowing him not only to visit the White House during his trip to Washington, but to publicly condemn Netanyahu for speaking openly on the single most important issue of our time, which is the Iranian nuclear program. Now, that's not exactly staying mum. He openly condemned him. He says what Netanyahu was doing was destructive, that it was counterproductive, that it was inappropriate, that he was ruining the American-Israeli relationship. So he didn't stay mum on it. He was derogatory. But, you know, these reporters are in lockstep with the Abominator. They're part of the problem. So after staying mum, which is a lie, on Israeli issues in the run-up to the election, the White House on Wednesday broke its silence. By the way, I know the White House has windows. It has doors. The White House has driveways. But does the White House have a mouth? How does the White House speak? The Abominator can speak. The Abominator's minions can speak. So why don't they say the Abominator told his minions to go out and tongue-lash Netanyahu? It's not the White House. Don't give him that credit. Don't give the institution that stain. The White House on Wednesday broke its silence, answering Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's victory with fresh criticism and making it clear that a new rift has opened between U.S. and Israeli leaders, this time over Palestinian statehood. A new rift. You tell me how it's a new rift. How could you have a bigger rift than the one that exists between the Muslim-favoring, anti-Semitic dictator wannabe of the United States, the megalomaniac, and necrophiliac president, and all things Israel? How could you have a... They're in opposition in every possible way. But this is new, according to this numbskull reporter. And it's over, of course, Palestinian statehood. I would like you to tell me how you came up with that name, dear reporter, Palestinian. Please. Why don't you tell me who are the Palestinian people? Why don't you tell me where there is a state called Palestine? Where there has ever been a state called Palestine? Please. If your job is to report accurately, please tell me where there is a Palestinian people. Where there have ever been a Palestinian people. Where there has ever been a state of Palestine. Please tell me. And you can't. Because there aren't and there never has been. In its first public response to Netanyahu's election triumph, White House Press Secretary John Ernst, who's anything but, said President Obamanator still believes in a two-state solution. You know, that just rolls off the tongue. Two-state solution? Oh, we could solve the whole mess with a two-state solution. Except the two states have no chance, zero, of existing together. None. And to think they can is to be completely ignorant of Islam and of human history. It's to be ignorant of everything, including what was the condition of the West Bank and Gaza prior to 1948. At that point, there were three states. And a three-state solution sure as hell didn't work. The West Bank was part of Jordan. The Gaza was part of Egypt. Israel was part of a British mandate. It was a three-state solution. It was no solution. It was completely and totally dysfunctional. So three states didn't work. You tell me why two would work. Why don't you review everything that has happened with the PLO, with Fatah, and with Hamas, and the Muslims in Israel, since the United States decided that it would play advocate on behalf of Islam to slice Israel into pieces and give it to those who have terrorized the nation. Every time there's been an agreement, the Muslims have welched on the agreement. Universally, without exception. Everything they have been asked to do, they have failed to do. Every time they sign an agreement, the person who signs the agreement says, hey, you know, understand, I did this in the spirit of Hudabaya. Where every Muslim knows that when you combine the hadith regarding what occurred at Hudabaya with the Quran's ninth surah that explains it, what you find is that, according to Muhammad, Allah in his Quran has said any agreement between a Muslim and a non-Muslim is not binding on the Muslim. So you have to be completely ignorant of the Quran, of Islam, of the Hadith, of Islamic Sunnah, of Sharia law, to believe that there is one chance in a billion that the Muslims and the terrorists to whom a state is given will live peacefully in that state and allow Israel to exist alongside. There is a 0% possibility that that will occur. All that will occur is that as independent state, although that it's on both sides of Israel, strangling Israel at her waist, where she is most vulnerable, where 70% of the population live. That those two entities in Gaza and the West Bank will both be controlled by Hamas, and that they will get the world bodies to sanction their importation of military hardware, which will come in boatloads from every Islamic State surrounding them. And that once they're armed to the teeth, because they're independent states, they will attack Israel again. That is an absolute, unequivocal guarantee. And everyone negotiating the two-state solution knows it. And everyone in Israel knows that should a independent state be created for a mythical people who have done nothing but welch on every agreement made with them thus far, whose very religious creed drives them to call for Israel's destruction, will use the concession to destroy Israel. That's the reality. Everybody who is advancing the two-state solution knows it. They're not naive. They want Israel destroyed. And that's true whether they be in Europe or in the United States. And so, here you have the United States, the Obaminator, and his Josh Ernst press secretary, saying that Obama still believes in a two-state solution. That is to say, he wants Israel's destruction. That is what that says. If you don't read it that way, then there's something wrong with you. That means that you are either ignorant or you're irrational. Or both. Or you're so indoctrinated that evidence and reason means nothing to you. There's a reason that Benjamin Netanyahu stated equivocally prior to the election that there will be no Palestinian state created while he is leading Israel, and that all it will do is empower the Islamists to destroy Israel. I don't know why America is so comatose on this. I really don't. I mean, I don't understand why Americans were so silent when the Obaminator said the Islamic State's not Islamic, or when he decided that America would engage in yet another war after having lost in Korea, in Vietnam, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, that now we would engage in a war in Syria. We also lost in Somalia. And, of course, we lost badly in Libya, and we engaged there, too. That we would engage in yet another war. And America yawned. America yawned when it was found that America had, at the highest levels, all the way up to the president, vice president, head of the CIA, National Security Advisor, had not only authorized but deployed a worldwide systematic use of torture. America just yawned. When Edward Snowden revealed that America had ignored its own constitution and was engaged in widespread spying on Americans through the internet clicks, through their use of their cell phones, America yawned. I didn't care. When it was announced that America would use quantitative easing to create the illusion that it was solvent, America yawned. That nation doesn't seem to care about anything. And now what you have is the Obaminator continuing to demand that Israel accept a terrorist state carved out of its heart. And the country seems to yawn. Doesn't seem to care that they elected a leader who is committed to the Islamic destruction of Israel. And for those of you who are just saying, well, that's not what he said. He wants a two-state solution. No, Israel is occupying those lands. Most nations view it that it's illegal, their occupation, and they're building homes in Jerusalem. Oh, my God. The thought of it all. Those poor little Palestinians, they're oppressed. Bull. Back at the time that Israel did something that Muslims have never done, which is to give full citizenship status to the minority religion in their country. Full status. Equal rights to education, to health care, to national benefits, to vote, to own businesses, to engage in all manner of society. Something that Muslims have never done. Israel did. And as a result, the Muslims in Israel, from 1948 up to the first intifada called by the ugly one, Yasser Arafat, of the PLO, which was a call to for Muslims, since they could not defeat Israel militarily, even though they outnumbered Israel 100-1, that after the failures in 67 and 73, militarily, Yasser Arafat of the PLO, and his PLO still exists, it governs the West Bank, declared a terrorist assault, an intifada, an uprising against Israel. And they began to kill Jews by the scores until it was into the thousands through suicide bombers. And that's the nature of this entity. And prior to that time, between 1948 and the time that Yasser Arafat told Muslims living in Israel to become terrorists and to murder Jews, the Muslims living in Israel were absolutely, unequivocally, the best educated, freest, wealthiest, healthiest Muslims living anywhere in the world. But what has happened since that time? Since they have turned to terrorism, since they have indoctrinated their children in Islam to hate Jews, to want to kill Jews, since they've engaged in this terrorist campaign, they're like Muslims the rest of the world over. Impoverished, enraged, hateful, spiteful. Why doesn't the world condemn them? Lawrence, the mouth of the White House, acknowledged Wednesday that the U.S. would have to reevaluate its position on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in light of those comments. There is no Palestinian-Israeli conflict. I mean, that whole construct, if you view the situation from that perspective, you are lost. You have no chance of understanding what is occurring. This is like saying that there is an Arab-Israeli conflict or war. Muslims in the Quran and in their Sunnah, in their Hadith, are indoctrinated to despise Jews, to see Jews as their mortal enemy, to kill and destroy Jews and Israel. That's what the Quran calls for. That's what Muhammad attempted to do. And so, if you're a Muslim, you either have to be a bad Muslim and to be wholly ignorant of the Quran, Hadith, Sunnah, and Muhammad, and the fact that he murdered, terrorized, raped, and robbed. Every Jew within reach by camel of Mecca and Medina. In fact, he hunted them to extinction and had to change those he sought to plunder to Christians in the final surah of the Quran. And so to think that the Israelis are being belligerents, that they're somehow in a conflict against a mythical creation called Palestinians, is to be unaware that Jews have never, ever, not once, in the 1400 years that Islam exists, Jews have never been the aggressor. All they've done is attempt to defend themselves against the constant onslaught of Islam. This is not a Palestinian-Israeli conflict. It is a Muslim conflict against Israel. It is full stop. There's nothing more to it than that. So long as Israel exists, so long as Jews exist, Muslims will seek to destroy one and to obliterate the other. That is what the Quran mandates. That is what Muhammad attempted to do. That is Sharia. That is Islamic Sunnah. It's fundamental to the religion. So not only isn't there such a thing as a Palestinian, and to say that it's the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, to suggest that Israel is responsible for the terror inflicted upon it, for the wars that have been brought to bear against it, is to be so stupid, to be so ignorant, to be so irrational, that you ought not be given a platform to speak on this issue. The journalist ought not be able to write on it. The politician ought not be able to speak on it if they're going to twist reality to this point. Netanyahu was right when he said that all the creation of a Palestinian state will do is to give Muslims the ability to destroy Israel. That's it. That's the only reason they want it. There was no call for a Palestinian state. There were no people called Palestinians. There was no place called Palestine prior to 1948. They were simply Muslims living in the West Bank. They were simply Muslims living in Gaza. One controlled by Egypt, the other manipulated and controlled by Jordan. And those Muslims, prior to 1948, they were living in Israel, were controlled by the Brits. That's the reality of it. The myth of a Palestinian people and a state of Palestine emerged only when the Muslims, in unison, failed in 1948 in their attempt to destroy the new nation of Israel. And then again in 67 when they failed again. And then in 74 when they failed again. When they continued to fail, and they could not achieve what they sought to achieve with blunt force and trauma. They attempted to do it with propaganda, with lies, with deceptions, with revisionist history. And guess what? The world is so stupid. People are so indoctrinated. Education is so horrifically bad. Political correctness is so pervasive that the vast preponderance of people around the world are unaware of reality and incapable of viewing this correctly, which is why the journalist wrote this, which is why the Abominator had it stated. If you know anything about Islam, if you know anything about Nazism, if you know anything about history, from Hudabaya to Czechoslovakia, you know for certain that this plan of carving land away from Israel, narrowing the country to less than 10 miles wide at its waist, and rewarding the terrorist behavior of Muslims will lead to World War III. Now, I don't just say this because it is obvious in having studied Islam and the PLO and Hamas and comparing Nazism to Islam and Prophet of Doom and understanding what the mindset that occurred in Nazi Germany after Czechoslovakia was cut in two and the high ground of Czechoslovakia was given to Adolf Hitler, starting World War II. I not only know it from that point of view, as should you as listeners to this program, but I know it from the perspective of future history, as presented by Yahweh, particularly in Yeshayah, Yahweh Saves, in the 17th chapter, which we have detailed in this program. Yahweh speaks specifically of this sacrifice of land, narrowing Israel at the waist, that it follows the destruction of Syria, which we're witnessing right now before our eyes, and then a unified Islamic assault into Israel after that war concludes with the complete destruction of Damascus. That is our future. Now, while Yahweh has never been wrong in a prophecy, and while this will occur, and while Glenn from time to time says, you know, this is what's going to happen, and almost inferring why rail against it, although I'm positive that Glenn understands, the reason it's important to rail against it is that you don't want to be one of those who are comatose. You don't want to be one of those who is voting, who is supportive of the U.S. government. You don't want to put your name by someone who is like the Abominator and opting for Israel's destruction. You don't want to be seen aligned with them. So it's important that we expose and condemn them for their lies. It's important that we do everything we can to educate people so that they can form a thoughtful, valid, evidenced conclusion. It's important that people understand that their government and its leaders should not be trusted, no matter where they might reside, and that they not rely on them. These things are important. And that's why we say them. So you've got the Abominator wanting to reevaluate its position. Now, how could you reevaluate your position to be any more anti-Israel? The Abominator has done everything he can to force Israel to capitulate, to accept defeat. But he stressed that Obama believes in a two-state solution is best, and State Department spokesperson, this woman I just detest. Her name is Jen Psaki. We've stated a number of her comments on this program. She is reprehensible. Clarified that the administration absolutely will continue to push for this. Now, Netanyahu made it clear, as did the Israeli voters, that the creation of a Palestinian state would mean the end of Israel. And so, what is the U.S. State Department and the Obama Nation government pushing for? Absolutely, they said. We'll continue to push for this. The destruction of Israel. You remember the prophecy that Yahweh put in his Torah regarding those who were in opposition to Israel? Woe unto them. They are seen as in opposition to Yahweh, to God. And there's a consequence for that. You can be in opposition to Russia and God doesn't care. You can be in opposition to bailing out Greece and God doesn't care. You can be in opposition to Vietnam. God doesn't care. But when you're in opposition to Israel, He cares. And there's a horrible consequence. America is going to suffer a horrible fate. Continuing with this same article. Further, Ernst, this is the mouth of the White House, chided Netanyahu's Likud party. Now, I don't recall anyone in Israel chiding the Democratic Party for the stupidity of saying that the Islamic State was not Islamic. But nonetheless, this president decided that he would chide Netanyahu's Likud party, just as he mocks the Republican Party, saying that the White House was deeply concerned about divisive language emanating from Likud. Divisive language. Have you ever heard of a more divisive person in their language than the Abominator? He's established an economic war in America. He has pitted America against Muslims. I mean, you could not have a more divisive. I would be willing to bet that there has been no more divisive president politically and internationally, domestically and internationally, economically, than the Abominator. His language is biting. It's condemning. It's demeaning. Wholly intolerant. He is reprehensible in this regard. His language is not only divisive, it's almost universally duplicitous. And yet he was chiding a political party in another country. Now, you know, you want to hear divisive language, you should listen to the numbskulls that are the result of the armed insurrection in the Ukraine, in Kiev. You want to hear divisive language. Oh, but we're doing everything we can to prop them up. Another $25 billion. Divisive language. Listen to the Abominator speak about Russia sometime. Listen to the Abominator speak of China sometime. Divisive language. Oh my God, we definitely have the pot calling the kettle black. He said that the party had sought to marginalize Israel's minority Arabs, an apparent reference to the social media post the Likud distributed that warned Israelis about the danger of a high turnout by Arab voters. You piece of crap. Jews have no rights in any Islamic state. They don't vote. They are marginalized to the point that they have been drilled to the point that their very existence is difficult. And yet, in a place where Muslims have the right to vote, in a country where they're not a majority, they're considered marginalized. They have full rights of citizenship. Now, the fact is that they're almost always treasonous. And Netanyahu would have known that they're going to vote for his opposition. As a matter of fact, Muslims began to, about 3 months ago, to initiate a campaign that would have all Muslims in Israel that are Israeli citizens vote as a united front, not voting for different Islamic parties, but voting all for the same Islamic party to have the maximum influence. And so, since the Muslims were trying to marginalize the non-Muslim vote by voting as a unified bloc, you want to tell me that it's not appropriate for Likud to warn Israel's that this is occurring? And that it's not appropriate for the President of the United States to acknowledge that in Israel, Muslims have full rights of citizenship. They're not marginalized. Where Jews are marginalized in every Islamic society. What's wrong with us? Why must we turn that which is profoundly good into something that is evil? Well, this president, he's anti-Semitic. He hates Netanyahu and Israel. That's why.